Do you wear contacts?
No.
You don't? No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
You lucky.
I'm getting older though, so.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, mine have gotten really bad, like especially the last probably 8 years or something. My right eye specifically is like really deteriorating. Last night I was shooting in the warehouse with Neville and the light is kind of not great.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting double vision. Like I could see.
Do you shoot with both eyes open?
I try, but I'm not very good at it. Do you?
I have to like close this one hard.
Yeah.
And then.
I kind of squint this one, you know, but then my left eye is my dominant eye now. It's like much better than my right eye. So it's always a little awkward.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I tried to shoot with one of those blinder things.
Uh-huh.
And I shot Sunday with it fine to keep both eyes open today and practice. I was like, whoa, no.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, there's four targets.
I thought about putting one on both sides of my hat. So I'm just like in a hallway.
Yeah.
It's just like nobody else will look at me.
Yeah.
Just and you just look cool when you have that too.
And then maybe
if
I could put one on the front that flips down. So I just like completely just off myself off from nobody talking to me. If I stand there with my arms like this, maybe people just leave me be.
Wow, that guy is weird. That's why they'll leave you.
Yeah. That's a vibe. Well, we have Jess Slaughter here.
Yeah.
Jess is a friend to Go Hunt. We've had you on the podcast before. It's been how many years? 2 years at least?
It was like one of the first.
Yeah, first few episodes, right?
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, we were at Park City at TAC.
And Neville. And
yeah, and you jumped on the podcast with us. So we've known you for a few years anyway.
Yeah.
But you're in Vegas. You're on our home turf.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we'd invite you down and say what's up and get to visit with you about. I want to talk about your elk hunt.
Yeah.
And talk about archery in general.
Yeah.
Is that all on the table? You're all right with that?
That sounds good to me. Sounds good. That's what I like to do. Archery and elk hunt. So.
Gotcha. Elk or mule deer? Let's get it out.
I know. Well.
Let's just throw it out
on
the table. I
haven't had any friends lately, so I'm hoping someone's going to be my friend eventually.
Yeah, I'm going to say elk. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm going to say elk.
Gosh. Oh, sorry.
But I also like mule deer too. But
sorry, Brady.
Bears.
Yeah.
See, bears. Okay, we got one win on the table.
But elk overall, right?
Oh, elk overall.
One animal to rule them all, and it's elk, Brady.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Do you want to hit us with promo code first?
We should.
I think we missed it yesterday.
But you know, you haven't listened to it yet. But the episode that you were gone this last week,
you guys nailed it.
I nailed it. It was about 40 minutes in. That I got 40? The promo code? Yeah, 40.
So man, I'm always optimistic, and then I look at the clock, and I'm like, oh, he didn't start the clock.
I know.
You started the clock, but we can't be more than a few
we
minutes.
We are 4 minutes in.
There you go. See?
And we're going to hit you
we're
with the
promo
code.
We're doing big things.
So, yes, it is application season, and everyone should, or we hope you need to have some research tools to actually draw some tags. So, sign up for our insider membership account. I'm just kicking things underneath the table. Sign up for an insider membership account. Use promo code podcast.
Is there a dog under there?
No. Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah.
And we'll give you 50 points back to the Go Hunt Gear Shop. So yeah, promo code podcast, give you 50 points back to the Go Hunt Gear Shop. And you get all the research from draw odds, application strategy, articles, filtering. I mean, you got everything in the mobile app too for researching for a hunt. You got Go Hunt Maps.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you could ever need. Wow, I have to repeat myself all the time.
Did you get a lot of questions about the atmosphere jacket today?
Yes.
I got a lot. I had a lot of DMs about the jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know price point on it?
$199. Yep.
So if you sign up for an insider account, you get $50 back. You can buy it
bucks
for $150.
Back. I mean, that sounds like a good purchase to me.
Smoking dill. And then Sig Optics. We need to shout out Sig Optics again. Sometimes I miss them, but wanted to shout those guys out as a sponsor of the podcast. Good friends of ours, and they make an awesome product, which I think you're familiar with.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Is that what you use?
Yeah. Sig. Yeah.
Sig Optics.
Mm-hmm.
What do you use the Zulus?
Oh yes. Yes.
You like them?
Yeah. I don't have the pros. I love them.
What power?
I think I'm running the 16s.
Okay.
16 by 42.
Best magnification.
I like the 12s.
Really?
Like the 12s?
Mm.
Yeah. I feel like the 12 is brighter.
Mm.
And I get everything that I want. I have enough magnification, but I don't feel like I'm lacking.
You think with your eyes, you'd want more.
Yeah, your old eyes.
Yeah.
You guys leave my eyes alone. No, but I do like the 12s.
Yeah.
Do you use anything else? It's rangefinder?
Yeah.
Of theirs?
Yeah, 8K.
Rifle scopes, rifles?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you got a sawtooth?
Yes, I do.
You've taken it out?
Yeah, I killed my bull with it last year, 7 PRC.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah.
Shoots good, huh?
Yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, dumped the bull, so
yeah. Yeah? One shot?
Yeah. I put two in him. I was by myself, so I was like, I better just double check here.
Yeah?
But yeah, it was good.
Did you end up hauling it out on your own?
No, I had some help on that, thank goodness, but...
Gotcha. Yeah.
It was cutting up an elk by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot of work, huh?
Yeah, it was in a snowstorm, like furthest ridge from the razor. I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But made it.
Yeah, but that's how you get it done, right? You just, you don't limit yourself. And you're, I mean, there's probably some consideration of like, how far can I actually get this thing out? But in a lot of ways, it's like, yeah, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get the animal killed and I'll get it figured out.
Then I'll figure it out later.
Yeah. And as long as you're not jeopardizing the animal because it's hot weather or something like that, there's some considerations to make there. But if you're hunting late season with a rifle, it's like, just get the thing killed, then figure it out.
Yeah. The meat was frozen solid the next morning. Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I made a little mistake, you know, but we learn as we go, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'm going to debone the front shoulders tomorrow in the daylight. And I'm going to, you know, hack the at the elbow tomorrow. I was like, I just got to get him like skinned and quartered and like laid out. Yeah, I came back and the next morning I like went to put my knife and it was just like, I was like, oh, well.
So you ended up packing out whole shoulders?
Yes.
Yikes.
Ouch.
Yes. Yikes.
Ouch. No.
And the first one with a, like, I packed the hind out first and I just had like a hoof, like, up. I was like, oh, you're an idiot.
You didn't cut the hoof off?
Well, I went to cut them off. Oh, like,
but you couldn't.
No, it was frozen solid.
Gotcha.
So I packed in the little hand, like the little, just battery powered saw and hacked off all four
legs.
That's
always one of my favorite social media comments is somebody packs out an elk quarter and you'll see, you know, the hoof and the hide on the lower half sticking out of the top of the backpack and inevitably, some person just cannot resist. Oh, why don't you cut the joint?
Yeah.
Save yourself 5 pounds.
Yeah. Well, I wish I would have the night before. Yeah. So trust me.
Yeah. You'll know you'll get that comment for that picture.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I didn't post that one. So, you know.
That's smart.
So what brings you to Vegas?
I'm here for the archer shoot. Okay. The Vegas shoot.
You shot this morning?
I did. 7 a.m.
Yeah. Bright and early. When did you get in last night?
Oh my gosh. It was a rodeo to get here. I think I laid down at like 2 a.m.
Ouch.
So then up at 4:45, had to go make sure my bow traveled well. And
did you get some practice ends this morning?
I did. Yeah. How many? I shot 3 practice ends.
And how, when did you
and
get
then
there?
The 2 practice ends of the, like the event, but
gotcha. So you went to the range and shot 3 practice ends before.
Mm-hmm.
How'd those go?
A little shaky. I mean, 3 hours of sleep and a little bit of, I had some breakfast and coffee, but it was like the lighting was so rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
dark. So it was rough, but.
What's so you got here late and then you were shooting early or just like in any archery shoot in general, like what's your strategy as far as food and drink? Like, were you like, yeah, definitely coffee? Or were you like, nah, maybe not coffee because I get jittery?
I definitely was a little light on the coffee this morning. I only had like just a few sips just to get me like
wake up
a little bit and a little bit of food. But usually I like nutrition and like hydration is big, especially for like outdoor shoots. Indoor, I don't worry as much about it, but especially if you're just shooting one game. But I could have used some snacks today because it was so long between like your
between your ends,
like because you
took forever.
It was forever. Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Speaking of snacks, can you have a snack in the middle?
Yeah,
of it?
Yeah.
Can
we do
your water and like grab a snack out?
Mm-hmm. You can do whatever you want.
Okay.
Yeah, you can, which I think a snack would be a great idea. Yeah. Like I took some water today, but I was like, I got to go easy on that or I'm going to have to like run out and pee during the middle of my end, which ain't going to be good. But I wish I'd have brought a snack.
Yeah.
Do you shoot differently with on an empty stomach versus with some food in your stomach? Do you notice the difference?
I don't know. I usually mostly always have food in my stomach. So.
Like to eat, huh?
I like to eat.
Yeah, but I don't shoot very good on an empty stomach.
Yeah, I don't do much well on an empty stomach, so.
So how did it go?
It went good. I mean, I'm not much of an indoor archer. I love outdoor, but I'm kind of like, I'm shooting open flights for the first time. So okay. I'm shooting a lens and.
Stabilizers?
Yeah.
How long?
Well, okay, so I just like to do things my own way.
Okay.
Like, it's kind of my thing, MO.
Your jam?
Yeah. So I had like a full target setup. And like I was running a Supra, big long, you know, 30-inch Denali bars on the front, and, you know, big back bar and everything. And then I don't know if a target bow is for me, but I like the scope and the, you know, like that's cool. So I hodgepodge together a Mach 33 in like a hunting setup with a scope. So I'm shooting just the Skylines or I think I've got the.
Are you shooting short bars then?
Yeah, I think I've got a 15 on the front.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
So like a 15 and 10 or 15 and 12?
15 and 10,
How much weight are you running?
On it?
Yeah.
11 up front, 6 in the back.
Pretty heavy though.
It's pretty heavy because, I mean, well, it's a carbon bow, so it was super light.
Sure.
But it was like, I felt like, and I'm probably going to get nailed for this, but like I didn't like the big long stabilizers on a really light bow mm-hmm. because it felt like the just the weight and the feel was just not for me. Hmm. So
gotcha.
Yeah, I took off the Denalis and just put on the Skylines, and I mean, I don't know, shooting fine, but
yeah,
like it's more the operator than the equipment.
How many pounds are you shooting?
So I've got 70 pound limbs on there and I've got it cranked all the way out to like 56 pounds.
Okay.
So hodgepodge. So
backed out. Mm-hmm. Does that mess with your draw length at all?
The draw length's fine.
Feels normal.
Yeah, feels good.
Yeah. As you back those out, you'll gain a little bit typically. Mm-hmm. Change the angle of it. I know that like with my bow right now, if I'm tinkering with draw length, I'll just like play with the limb bolts in and out and see mm-hmm. if like a 16th what mm-hmm. it might feel like before I make any adjustments to my cables.
Mine are backed out.
They're about to pop out.
Yeah, it's fine. Everything's fine, guys.
Like some epoxy holding it on there. Yeah, so it's doesn't fine. Fall out.
A little Loctite probably. I just like to do my own thing.
Yeah.
The guy I work with at our shop, Jesse, he's awesome. He's like heck of a shooter and he's like, we can do this. I'm like, okay, let's do it. Let's try this. So I'm way more comfortable shooting a hunting bow. Mm-hmm. Like it's like home to me. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. I was happy with our shot this morning.
Yeah. Were you nervous?
You beat Trail, I heard.
Yeah, beat me bad. Badly.
So. I did beat Trail.
Yeah, I'll own it. Yeah, she just absolutely whipped my ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, most people did. That's okay.
That's
fine. I mean, I expected more of myself, which is fine. I shot better scores at my home, but that's mm-hmm. me in my sweatpants mm-hmm. in my kitchen.
It's different. It's very
different. Yeah, way different. Yeah, I've never shot like a full line, a bunch of people. It was. I had like fair warning, so Neville talked to me. Neville shot great today, by the way.
You did.
Yeah, he was.
Did I beat him?
Nope. Oh, yeah, you did actually. Yeah, you did by a couple. Like, yeah, he like, dropped, but he dropped 3 points in his last two arrows.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, yeah, but he was just shooting really good, just pounding. He's been putting really a lot of effort into it, but he was shooting like local leagues in Fort Collins where he mm-hmm, lives. Mm-hmm. And after the first time he did, I talked to him. I was like, how's leagues? And he's like, man, it was like really, it's pretty hard to stay focused. He's mm-hmm. like with like people around you and just kind of the ambiance, the talking and the arrows going off and stuff. And he's like, I think you might have, because I never shoot with any. I've never shot with anybody ever. Like, I just don't. Yeah, I just go me and my dog, you know.
Yeah.
Or just me in my kitchen, but that was like the first thing I noticed was like the first end. I was like pretty locked in, and like 3 tens felt great. Couple X's. Second end, I was like kind of waning a little bit, and then my first bad arrow. Mm-hmm. After that, I kind of like, I don't know. I just started to be. It was really hard to focus.
Yeah.
I became super distracted.
Yeah.
It felt like.
Yeah. Yeah. That was different. I've only ever shot like outdoor,
mm-hmm.
like competitions or whatever, but we do some indoor leagues and stuff like that. So I've had that like shooting pressure experience. And the only other tournament I've ever shot was like a really small indoor one, like in Pocatello.
Mm-hmm.
But I hated that because it was so small. And I shot at 7 a.m. Like, I don't know why I get these early flight times, like sucks for knock times, but
yeah, she likes a challenge.
Yeah. She hates waking up early. So why don't you put her at 7 a.m.? But, it was harder because it was a small venue and you were shooting with like 15 people,
mm-hmm.
but it was dead quiet.
Oh,
so
really?
I like the chatter and the noise and like other people's bows going mm-hmm. off,
mm-hmm.
but it was
think,
a lot today.
Yeah. I'd like the quiet, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had people talking to me and I was like, what is this? It's just like, and then I had I think I was telling you earlier, but I had the timer was mm-hmm. right above my bale.
Oh, nice.
So just, I had plenty of time. Like I never got down to the wire, but at my peripheral vision, like top of my scope, mm-hmm. I would like see the clock going mm-hmm. down, just ticking, mm-hmm. ticking. And I was
that'd be kind of hard.
It
doesn't matter at all. That's the funny thing about all this is it's like, I mean, mentally you should be able to handle that, right? It's like, it's the name of the game is being able to mentally adjust mm-hmm. and focus mm-hmm. and, you know, handle the situation. But I was really surprised at like how distracted I was.
Yeah.
The other part that I found really hard is, my intensity or like my competitiveness kind of waned pretty quick.
Interesting.
I was just like, I just want to shoot. I'm just shooting arrows.
Huh.
So that was something I'm going to have to work through and deal with.
Well, new day tomorrow.
New day tomorrow, and that's it. Yeah, just try to improve on what I did today, and hopefully I shoot a better score tomorrow, and just try to get a little bit better. And the whole reason I wanted to do this, one, I love, and I'd be interested in your take, but I genuinely really love archery. Like, mm-hmm. I'm fascinated by it, mm-hmm. and I like the equipment, and I like watching it on TV, and I like everything about it, and I think for me, the reason I kind of wanted to do this was to just be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I felt as uncomfortable as mm-hmm. I did this morning in mm-hmm. a really long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I've always wanted to shoot this, but I've mm-hmm. never really been like you know, I shoot indoor to like be better outdoor and be a better hunter and like all those things. I've never really taken it very seriously. And this year I like took it seriously and I was, and like, this was a goal. And yeah, it's good to be uncomfortable, I think.
Yeah. Helps you grow, right?
Yeah.
I'm hoping. And ultimately that's all I really want is like, if I get a little bit better so that September comes up and I just feel more adjusted and I feel like I'm more confident on an animal. Then I did it. Right.
Yeah.
Did you feel more pressure, more anxiety today than you would on an animal? Or
100%.
Isn't that interesting?
It's like these competitions and like the few that I've shot like outdoor, I will shake. Like, I mean, I will like, I'll look like I'm, something's wrong with me. Like I'll go to clip on my D loop and I like miss it. You know, I'm so nervous, but like, I feel like those like situations and like experiences, it's, I don't feel that anymore on animals. I get excited and I get like, you know, I get amped up, but like, I don't feel like when I come to full draw, I'm like, it's game time. Like it's
on an animal.
On an animal. Yeah. This I'm like at full draw, like worrying about everything else. Like, you know, so
I find it so bizarre as I was thinking about it this afternoon. It's like, there's no consequences.
There's
here.
None.
It's literally paper. And you know, there's so many people and nobody really on my target butt was shooting any better than I was, you know? So it's not like I was walking down there to like a, you know, 30X game. So there's really like, there's literally no pressure whatsoever in reality. And you know, in the woods, you're taking a life. Right. And I don't know how that equates to me being, I felt way more comfortable shooting in an elk than I did today.
Same
on my first.
That's weird.
Even my last arrow, I would say I felt more comfortable on an animal than I did in my last arrow today.
I think the last arrow was the worst arrow.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd given up by then.
I'd shot two tens already and I was like, all right.
Oh, that's awesome.
Another 10. Like,
gotcha.
And then you put the pressure on to like, you know.
Yeah.
Finish strong.
So. Do you get buck fever? Like on an animal?
No, not really.
You don't?
Not really.
You don't get the adrenaline?
I get the adrenaline, but I don't get the like, I get excited, but I don't like.
Do you get excited post?
Yes. Like, yeah.
That's when I always do too.
I mean, I get excited before, but like as soon as like I draw back or as soon as that thing's in my crosshairs, like it goes away. Like it's just calm.
So how do you do that? What's your process?
I don't know. You have to ask the brain upstairs. It just
let's
does
dive
it.
Into the brain.
Oh, just, I don't know if you want to do that.
Let's get in there.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I just, like you're saying, like I'm way more relaxed and way more, like the stakes are way higher, but I also know that I put in all the work to execute.
The more times you've done it. That's the thing with shooting an elk. I've shot a lot of elk, you know, and I kind of know what to expect. Versus this, I didn't really know what to expect exactly. Like, try to envision it, work it through in your mind, what it's going to feel like, smell like, you know, what the room is going to be like, noise. And you can't, I couldn't really like totally capture it because I just never done it, you know? I've been and watched it really, but you can't really put yourself in those shoes until you actually tell the line. And it's definitely way different than I thought.
So it sounds like though with time, it might feel similar.
More calm, and
this is what I do every single day. I've done these tournaments a ton. Like,
I think that's the thing, right? People that are good at it probably got really good at it because they did it a lot.
These people winning, it's like that's what they do
for sure. It's like second nature. And I would say it's not second nature for me on an elk by any means, but it's definitely way more comfortable at this stage in the game than it was like my first one or two. Do you have a process when you shoot like today? So do you, what do you work us through?
It depends on like how I'm shooting. And like, so when I'm shooting outdoor, I don't really have much of a process. I just make sure I'm like anchored and all that. But indoor, I feel like it's so like form driven and so technique driven. So, I have it like written down in my notes actually. And it's, so I knock my arrow the same way every time. Like I hold my bow the same, like on my hip, cause I don't have big long stabilizers. So I shoot the same three arrows, they're numbered, and knock it the same, hook onto the D-loop the same, hand pressure the same, and then I draw.
Are you talking to yourself?
In my brain.
Are you saying like, okay, draw my bow, I'm
gonna
draw my
bow? Not necessarily draw, but like that part is just so muscle memory. But as I draw and anchor, my first thing is, okay, anchor, front hand, because like I have a hard time with like hand pressure. Like my front hand is usually the culprit of anything that I do, like any miss, it's usually my front hand.
Really?
Yeah. And then I'm shooting a hinge with a click. I have been shooting a hinge with no click for a long time, so now I'm getting back into the click, but basically as soon as like targets lined up, you know, peep housing, everything's like pretty lined up, thumb off the peg, which hits my click. And then basically what I've been saying lately, so once my front hand's relaxed and everything's lined up, I'm anchored, nose to the string, like I'm saying all those things, I just, today what worked was relax and pull. And I just try to relax and pull that backhand through.
Gotcha.
What is your reason for going back to a click? Because I'm the opposite. I'm going away
from the click. So my first hinge ever was a safety hinge, like a Carter Honey. Uh-huh. And so there was no click, but the safety was my click, essentially. Yep. So I had no click. And then I went to the UltraView 1, which is the one I'm shooting now, and click. And then I went to a Tangent, B3 Tangent, with a click. And then I went away from the click. I can't remember why, because I just went away from the click for a while, and I shot it for like a year with no click. And then I was struggling probably like 2 or 3 weeks ago shooting. And sometimes like you just have to change things. So I put my Tangent in my pouch and I pulled out my old UltraView 1 and went back to the click, and it's been good. So it was just, I needed change.
Yeah.
And without changing a bunch of other stuff, I just changed releases and.
Yeah, it was an easy change to make.
Yeah, it was good. But the click has been helpful, like, especially today, like making me like stay honest and like not get out of my process.
Yeah, so, cheating it.
Yeah.
Do you ever have a problem ripping it?
No.
No. No. Yeah, I haven't either.
And my problem is it won't go off.
Yeah.
I just freeze.
Yeah, my biggest issue is I'll start to collapse.
Yep. I'll collapse or I'll come out of my peep as I'm trying to pull.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or I'll pull harder, like I was telling you earlier, and I'll heel it out. Mm-hmm. So as I pull, like my heel pressure in my palm starts to increase, and I'll blow it out the top. Mm-hmm. And all my misses today, the worst misses, I should say, were all heel pressure culprits, just pushing it out and tipping it out, which makes me interested in maybe going with like a steeper degree of grip so that I've got a little bit more back pressure there that I can push into with maybe out those bangs.
Yeah. I do have the UltraView, like the deadly one. Oh. It was from my Levitate, and I just hodgepodged it on because that's how I roll. And it's like loose and stuff. And
like
I just
the like the B-Real grip? The B-Real grip?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, no, is that what it is? It's like it's the Dudley one, the UltraView.
Yep.
I don't know. It's been on three bows now.
Okay.
So it's kind of.
It's got a pretty good angle to it.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot, but it's like taped onto my.
Gotcha.
Onto my bow right now. It's very classy.
Mine's much more. Mine's pretty low wrist. It runs like clear to my palm, which I think sometimes when it breaks clean, it's great. But I think I have a tendency, like I said, to push it out the top. I don't know. All this tinkering, huh?
I know.
It's just like a complete mind F.
Yeah, for sure. I had to just stop. Tinkering. Like I had to just like stop messing with stuff. I like switched my bars. I, you know, like switched releases, and I was just like, I'm done. Like, I'm just going to shoot this setup and just, cause as soon as this shoot's done, like I'm done looking at a yellow dot until November, you know, like I'm over it. Like I'm ready to shoot outdoors. So then I'll get set up for outdoor. And
my biggest problem is like, I'll get it set up. It'll be shooting good. I'll be improving. But then I think, could I improve further if I change the angle of this back bar and added a twist to this cable and move my D loop up an eighth of an inch?
So were you tuning and tweaking things as of like, days before?
So the arrows I'm shooting right now, I cut and fletched. What day did I get here? Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I cut and fletched them.
Nice.
Yeah, some of them. Monday.
Yeah, no, it would have been Monday. Yeah.
When you had the arrows. I haven't shot the arrows I'm shooting right now through paper. So I know that for a fact. So
that's fine. Minor details.
Which is, I mean, 20 yards. I'm like, how important is a paper tune, right? It's probably important, but if you do the same thing every time, it should hit dot. But
yeah.
I don't know. I'm figuring it out. I'm learning. Yeah. I got tinkeritis bad.
And see, I'm not a tinkerer.
Really?
No. I'm like, set it, forget it. Don't touch it. Don't even look at it.
I can't do that.
Yeah. But with
I should do that with a
target bow, though, I've learned that the more tinkering, the better. But then I think there's a point where you need to stop and shoot your equipment and stop messing with it.
Yep.
So that's where I'm at right now.
How much did you shoot prior to this, like indoor? Like how long have you been like working at it, prepping for it?
Oh, like months.
Really?
Like really hitting it hard the last month, like every single day.
Do you shoot every day?
Most days.
Most days. Mm-hmm. Even throughout the summer and like prior to hunts, you... Mm-hmm. You like, you like shooting?
Oh, yeah. Spring and summer, and that's, like, way better to shoot outdoors. But, yeah. In the winter, not so much every day, but prepping for Vegas, I was hammering. So
what do you like about it?
About archery?
Yeah.
Oh, because you can only think about what you're doing at that moment in time.
That's not true. I've proved it. Well,
I know. You can, and then you miss. So
you can think about all kinds of shit.
Yeah. That's when you miss.
I promise you, you can. Yeah. I'll teach you how.
Yeah. No, I don't need to do that. I like not. I just like focusing on my process and shooting, and it's therapeutic. It's nice. It's like satisfaction, you know, instant, you know, gratification when you hit where you're aiming. And yeah, especially
when
when
it goes well, it's great, huh?
Yeah, when it's not going well, it's not fun. So, and I've been there, like a lot of times where things just aren't going well. It's usually my own issues, but
I wish I could figure that out. I was asking somebody the other day. I was asking Colby Hanley because he's on this 30X, road to 30X, right? So he didn't shoot for a really long time. It used to be like a really consistent competitive shooter. You know, like a 30X game for him was something that was super achievable relatively often. And he's got this whole series going on YouTube now, you know, the road to 30X. And I was asking him, in this process, do you see like ebbs and flows of like improvement and then regression? You know, do you have days where, you know, week maybe where you just aren't shooting well? And I was trying to figure out why, because I have that. Like I'll have days where it just seems like I'm on fire and can't miss. And I have days where it's just like, I can't buy it next, you know? Yeah. And I'm so, do you have days where your draw length feels long or too short?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. And it just depends. Like, I feel like it depends on like how much I've been shooting and like working out and like, am I sore? Am I tight? Am I,
gotcha. You
know, I think it depends on a lot of things. Hydration, I think. I don't know. I think it's all the things, but yeah, there's days I walk in there. I'm like, is this even my bow?
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, 2 days ago, I took like a half turn out of my limbs and shot great. I was like, oh, great. That's the secret sauce, you know?
Yeah.
And then I came down, shot you last night, and I was like, man, my draw length feels long. this feels longer than it did the day before. But yeah, I can't quite figure it out. But I mean, your body must change, right, from day to day. It's I guess you have to shoot enough to kind of know that and then how to react to it. But
basically, the whole time I've been hearing you talk, Trobe, we need to take away your Allen wrenches at least like 2 weeks before a shoot.
You know what you need to do? Yes. Just don't like, let it, maybe adjusting. Electrolysis or something. Just freeze what's going on between my ears, because that's the biggest issue.
I think.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem. I don't think it's the equipment by any means.
Yeah, it's always me. It's always my issue.
Me too, for sure. How did you get into archery?
Well, I've always rifle hunted with my dad. And then...
like when you were a kid?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I just like went along because he lived in Oregon. I lived in Idaho. So I just kind of went along as a little sidekick. Yeah. And then.
Did you start hunting? Like, when did you start hunting with your dad?
With my dad?
With your own tag.
I was 15. Okay. My first year tag. And he moved to Idaho. So then we started hunting Idaho and 15. But I ran cross country. So like all my fall was running and like districts and state meets were in the middle of hunting season. So,
I find you a cross country runner. We had you an Omar race.
No, I don't run anymore. I don't run anymore. No, I run for Memorial Day Murph. So I run my, you know, my 2 miles on Memorial Day, you know, one to start, one to finish. But, so grew up hunting with my dad and then kind of everything got put on hold, you know, went to college and always wanted to hunt and like kill big stuff. And, and then, my ex-boyfriend from like high school, his aunt was like a killer with a bow, like
really?
Big whitetails. Like, yeah. Like they had property up north, like North Idaho.
Okay.
And she would kill like turkeys and like big whitetails with her bow. And I was always like, I want to do that. And like, I always wanted to kill a bull with a bow. Like I'd hunted elk once with my dad in high school and like, that's about all I got. And, I was like, man, I'd want to kill a bull. With my bow, or with a bow, I guess. I didn't have a bow. And then went to college, everything on hold. And then, picked up archery about 10 years ago and never looked back. Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, you grew up hunting with your dad, but the fact you brought up an ex-boyfriend's mom?
His aunt. Yeah,
his aunt.
Yeah.
Was that cool because she was a woman?
Yeah, it was cool. Because, really? Like, I grew up, like, you know, my dad hunted. Like,
yeah.
And my uncle and, like... You know, and there wasn't like social media where there are these women, you know, out hunting, you know, it was Aunt Robin, you know, we would go duck hunting and then she'd show pictures of her giant whitetail she killed out of like a ground blind with her bow. And I was just like, hell yeah. Like,
yeah.
She was like just this beautiful woman and just out just killing giants. I was like, I want to do that. I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I always had like the aspiration to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's interesting, right? Like you have that influence that walks into your life and you mm-hmm. wonder if that was a different person, you know, maybe mm-hmm. a different gender, mm-hmm. if it would have registered with you the same yeah. way. But yet, yeah, you know, it's a female, another female, and mm-hmm. you saw that in her and was like, mm-hmm. oh, I could do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was always interested in hunting. Like I always wanted to go hunting, mm-hmm. you know, but sports and
mm-hmm.
school and then college and then, you know, all those things just got in the way. But
when did you first start like venturing out on your own? Like, I mean, what, how do you think about hunting right now as far as being a female going out on your own? Like, is it something you wanted to jump headlong into, and how's the process been?
Well, that was kind of new for me. Last fall, the bull I killed by myself, I've mm-hmm. gone out, like I've killed like two antelope by myself, but antelope hunting is, you know, you're sitting over water. It's very different.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've done some elk hunting by myself and stuff, but, yeah, no, the solo hunting is definitely going to be new for me, but I wanted to kill another bull last year. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I'm just going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be very, very interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah. If you look at the interest in our content or the interest in like insiders and signups and the people that buy stuff in our gear shop, the female contingency it's growing,
mm-hmm.
it's improving, but I mean, there's still not like a lot of women out hunting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I very rarely see a woman out hunting on their own.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being in college, which has been forever ago. It's been a really long time, but I remember I was archery spike elk hunting and I was going to Utah State and I was sitting on this ridge. It was like midday. I was just kind of having a nap, kind of laid up underneath a shade tree, and woke up and I could hear voices like kind of walking up the ridge. And I remember thinking, that sounds like a woman, you know? And I sat up and two women come walking up, bows, full camo and everything. And I remember thinking at the time, like how weird that was. I remember thinking like, this is the most bizarre thing. And I mean, it's been forever ago. It's mm-hmm. been a long time, but I remember genuinely thinking like, this is so strange. Like it's so weird. It really caught me off guard, you know? But,
yeah.
You know, certainly there's more women that are into hunting, which I think is awesome. Mm-hmm. I think it's super cool. But I don't know that there's as many as that probably want to be. Cause yeah. I think there's some interest in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you think the biggest hurdle is as a female into getting into hunting? Like what's the highest hurdle? What would you say it was for you? It might be different cause you grew up hunting a little yeah. bit, but like,
yeah, I had some knowledge and sure. some experience and things. Gosh, the biggest hurdle. Oh man, that's like $1 million question.
Is,
yeah. I don't know. I think it just depends on like the female, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like, one, it's expensive to just start.
Yep.
You know, I think that's a big hurdle for everybody.
Was it intimidating for you to go into an archery shop and buy a bow or like?
Luckily, like our archery like community where I'm at is mm-hmm. really good.
Hmm.
So like, no, it's not. But I do think that it is a
big hurdle.
The
shop, right?
Yeah, it depends on the shop. Like mm-hmm. our shop's great, but maybe another shop.
Who is your local shop?
Archery Idaho.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Shout yep. out Archery Idaho.
Yeah, shout out Patrick and Jesse. We got two locations, one in Idaho Falls, one in Pokey. So
okay.
yeah, they're good dudes in there. But I would say, yeah, like intimidation is probably a big one for women.
Mm-hmm.
And like fear of failure, fear of, you know, like you don't want to embarrass yourself. You don't want to, you know, nobody likes to look dumb or, mm-hmm. you know, inexperienced or
yeah,
doesn't
I definitely
matter what
don't.
It is.
Today like, proved it.
But, but yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of barriers to entry for women and then like gear for women and, you know, from everything to, you know, boots to clothing to equipment, you mm-hmm. know, it's tough. Cause I mean, we're women in a men's world,
yeah.
you know, there's not very many.
Do you think the hunting industry is are we welcoming to females, would you say, or is it like we do better?
I mean, I've never really had an issue. I do feel like, I don't know, you're trying to get me on a soapbox here. Cause,
I mean, anything that you got to say, I would love to hear. Speak your mind.
I think I've not had an issue because, I don't know, everybody's been pretty welcoming to me, but mm-hmm. I do feel like there is this like sense of like, I have to prove myself.
Uh-huh.
Cause I was married for the last like 7.5 years and we did a lot of hunting together the last decade. And I think for a while people just thought I was like riding on his coattails
mm-hmm.
and him and I very much knew that that was not what was happening. Like I was just as much of a hunting partner as he was, you know? So I feel like there's a lot of like proving yourself, but I do feel like guys have to do that too. You know, like it's interesting because I feel like guys are expected to know everything and expected to know, you know, all the gear questions and all this stuff. And, you know, if you don't know, then you're, I don't know, you look silly or whatever. But then I feel like women are expected not to know anything. So I do feel like a lot of times talking to people about, I'm not even going to, like, just gear in general, they would talk to him about my stuff. And he was like, no, you need to talk to her because she knows, like,
what she needs.
Yeah, she knows what she needs. Here you go. You know,
and, ask her.
But I don't know. I think it's probably as good as it's going to get for a while. I mean, I do feel like there's definitely women in the hunting industry that are doing it for the right reasons because they love it and they want to do it and they want to go kill elk and they want to go hunting and they want to be in the woods. And then I think there's a lot that are doing it for the wrong reason that give us that are doing it for the correct reasons a bad rap.
Does that grind your gears?
It does. It really does.
Really?
It really does.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what do you think of like the current landscape of social media? And it's different for men because it's like, you know, we're all.
But I think there's a lot of men also doing it for the very wrong reasons too. Like you see that a lot. You're like, really?
Yes. Agreed.
I don't know. This is an interesting question, one that I wrestle with quite a lot because there was a time when I used to be really hypercritical of people of why, like their reasons and their values for why they like to hunt or why they post what they post. And I used to really like, I used to be like that, like, oh, that guy's just doing it for the wrong reasons. He's doing it for the likes and the clicks and the views. I don't know. I've kind of had like a little bit of a flip in that, like, I feel like if the individual's like doing it legally and they value the animal and they're going out and doing it, and if part of their motivation is that they just want likes and shares, then I'm like, I don't know. I guess that's what they value. It kind of, I don't know, bastardizes it a little bit for me, you know? But again, I'm like trying to be a little less critical of folks, but it's, I think it's different for women.
Oh yeah.
Cause like, I think there's, it's, there's a, I feel like there's a big difference. Is there, would you say?
I would say there's a difference. Yeah. I mean, you know, I just, I've seen things on social media where it's like, look at this gun I'm shooting, but you can't see it cause my tits are in the, you know, in the frame. Like, I'm like, wait, what gun is that? Like, you know, but I don't know. Those are the,
It is interesting.
That's an extreme case, of course, but like it's, I don't know. Do you think it's a weird place?
Do you think that hurts, like the perception of women and getting into hunting?
Yes.
And, yeah.
Yes. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
I've had a lot of conversations about this, and it's hard. It's hard to.
So, what do you want to be? What do you want to be? As far as,
I want to be.
I mean, yeah. When you grow up,
I'm going to be 32 this year. So maybe this is the year I'll grow up. Yeah.
I'd have never thought that.
What were you thinking? Like,
28.
Oh, wow.
Really? Yeah. How old? 32?
Yeah. 32 in June.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Brady, how old are you going to be?
I'll be 39 in June.
Oh.
What day?
June 6th.
Oh, 26th.
Dang. All right. We got sixes in there.
Yeah, sixes.
Juniors.
Yeah.
I'll be 46.
Wow. A lot of sixes going around.
Ouch.
Yeah. Stings. You're just a young pup.
Stings just a little.
Yeah.
But what do you want to do? Like, as far as like within the space, like what's important? I know that, like, are you looking to like grow a social presence? Are you trying to like mentor? I see, the reason I bring it up is because like and the reason I admire you actually is because I see you do like ladies night shoots, right? At the local archery club. And it's just, you guys get together. And I feel like for a woman, that would be like a much more welcome, enticing environment than showing up where you're probably going to be one or two females on the line with a whole bunch of dudes that act like, you know, they know what the hell they're doing and kind of just, you know, leave them out. But, I think that's really awesome and something that like I admire. So are you looking to do more of that kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, I don't know about the social presence. Had one for a long time and now I'm just on my own social platform, just my personal. I've just been a ghost on there. Yeah, which is, I like it.
Sometimes it's okay.
It's nice. But I don't know. I'll probably get back to that eventually. But yeah, like mentorship and like women's clinics and like those kinds of things. Like that's, I love that. Like teaching somebody how to shoot a bow is like probably one of the coolest things you can do, and like watch them enjoy it and improve. And like, you know, one of the girls that goes to the CrossFit gym I go to, she is like hardcore skier, like interior designer, mom, wife, you know, all those things. And we were at the gym one Saturday morning and said something about ladies' night the night before. And she was kind of like, oh, what's ladies' night? What's this about? You know? And I was like, oh, it's just like this, you know, archery thing I put on for girls. And like, we go and shoot bows. And I'm just talking to her as a friend that I work out with, you know, a couple times a week. And she was like, can I come? And I was like, what? Like, you're not even like cool. into the, like, this isn't even like your jam. And she was like, oh, can I come? I was like, absolutely. And she was like, I don't have anything. I was like, well, I got you. Like, we have stuff to like set up. And I set her up with a bow. And Patrick, the shop owner, I mean, that dude will give you the bow out of his hand to shoot. He's a good dude. He loves archery and wants everybody to do it. And so we set her up like one of the shop bows, and she came like every Friday. And Patrick was just like, just hang on to it. Like, just shoot it for the winter. Like, just hang on to the bow, hang on to the release, hang on to the arrows. Like, and so she came like every week. By the end of like the winter, when because we just do ladies night in the winter, she bought a bow, bought a setup, everything. Like, that's bought a cool. target, and she just like shoots now. And she, no interest in hunting.
Totally random. It's like gym conversation led to that. Wow.
And she's like, yeah, not a hunter. Like just likes to shoot. She likes the therapy, like, you know, it's therapeutic. You go out there and you just shoot some arrows and it feels good.
Yeah. So you wonder how many more, you know, women are out there like that.
Yeah.
And if you just mention it and like, hey, we're doing this, but it's like, yeah, the setup is the hard part.
But yeah.
But if you had extra bows, like more women would just do it and then we'd get addicted to it.
Yeah. And I think it's, I mean, she's like one of those, like, you know, she's a really good skier and she's good at CrossFit. Like, she has that drive to do better. And I think that's what's cool about archery is like, there's drive to do better all the time.
Yeah.
Like, and which is
it's
why
individual,
I like it.
Right? I mean, you're working against, you know, you're competing obviously with other people when you're shooting a shoot like we are today, but you're also mostly, you're just like working on yourself, you know, which I love the individual aspect of that.
Yeah. But it was cool. Like just to watch her like go through that whole process and be able to like help her and like help her buy a bow and like what bow to, you know, what bow to buy and all that stuff. And one thing I will say, ladies, is like, don't let the hunting space put you in a box of like what bow you need to shoot, you know, like there's bow companies that make some women bows. I'm sure they're great, but like, don't limit yourself because there's so many bows out there that would be great for you as well. Like, I think we got her set up in like a V3X, like, I think, I can't remember what limbs we put on there, but like, and she's a small girl, like she's shorter than me, like she's like a short draw length, but like, we didn't put her in like a brand new female bow, you know, because there's more out there than maybe like marketing leads you on to believe.
But I think it's really cool that you do that. How is it? So it runs through the winter. Is it one night a week or?
So we did it every Friday for the first winter, and it just became like too much for me because I was running it every Friday night.
Oh, gotcha.
It was fun. It was great.
Yeah. And how many people would you get?
It just depended on the night. Okay. Like, we had, I think one night we had like 18.
That's awesome.
And I was like wrangling 18 women and we're drinking margaritas. It's like, I'm like, oh boy.
This sounds like way more fun.
It is. Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, responsibly have a margarita and shoot your bow, but like,
disclaimer,
but like, it's still very safe, but like, I think it was just a good place for them to just like, get out of the house, get away from their job, their families. And we would just have fun and shoot and improve. That was like the cool part. So we did it every Friday for the first winter. That became way too much. And then we did like once a month.
That's cool. Yeah, it'd be fun to do more of that type of stuff, for sure.
Yeah, so be
good. Do you want to talk about your elk hunt last year?
Yeah,
I want to hear. I want to hear all about it.
It was the best.
I want to hear when you drew. I want to hear all the details.
Like when I drew the tag.
When
I drew the tag.
And so, what is your process? Like, how much do you apply? Do you apply in a lot of states? Or?
Like Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, Nevada.
Okay.
Idaho.
So quite a few.
Quite a few.
Yeah, it's a decent amount.
Yeah, decent.
So you apply in Utah?
Mm-hmm. So I apply in Utah and just like, I don't know, swing for the fences. Yeah. Like, why not?
How did you pick the unit that you
applied? Let me tell you. So I went to the Hunt Expo and I did the $5 draw or whatever, the $5 tag. And I remember like reading through like archery elk and I was like reading through the units and I was like, oh, Do I say the unit?
I don't think you should.
It's the secret unit that nobody can know. But
this is the first time I've ever heard Trail be tight-lipped. When you talk about elk, and you talk about big bulls. Every other time he's like, Brady, you need to start talking about units. Why don't you talk about units on deer? I'm like, I like to keep my stuff hidden.
Things are truly sacred, Brady.
Okay.
Better than mule deer.
Jeez, I'm getting picked on here.
Anyway, super top secret unit.
Okay.
I saw it and I'm very like, everything happens for a reason. Timing is everything. All those like...
You're vibey.
Like all those stupid cliche sayings and serendipity, all that. Mm-hmm. I'm very much...
love?
What?
I was saying random things.
Do you gamble?
No. I've gambled like $20 in my life.
You have? Yeah. I spent $100 last night. I was walking around the casino and that's what I was doing. I was trying to vibe out the right machine.
Oh, see? Maybe I should
literally
try that.
Got done talking to Endo yesterday saying you don't gamble.
I know. And then I did last night.
And you won, you won or lost?
Neville. I was with Neville and Nick, and they were like, hey, let's gamble. I'm like, let's do it.
Did you win?
No.
Oh, okay.
Which is, but that's, it proves to me I don't have the vibes. I can't, I couldn't pick it up, but.
Yeah. I don't know if I have the vibes, but I'm very much.
Yeah,
like,
you felt.
I like that stuff.
You liked it?
And I like saw the name of the unit. I was like, I like that. So I picked it for the $5 thing. And then when it came time to apply, I didn't draw it at the Hunt Expo.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, which is surprise, surprise. But so when it came to put in, I was like, just put me in for that unit. And then I'm at work. Like in May or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And I knew because I put in for deer for the general deer tag for Utah. And I knew I saw
same unit.
No, different unit.
Okay.
And it's like guaranteed. It's like 99% drawn, like mm-hmm. drawn every year. So I'm at work and I saw on social media that like draw, like all the
cards are getting hit.
Yeah, cards are getting hit. And I'm like, oh, whatever. I didn't even look at my email. I was like, I drew my deer tag. I didn't draw anything else. Like, I'm going about my business, like, work the rest of the afternoon. I was waiting for my 4 o'clock patient, and I was, like, just happened to be on my phone. I was like, oh, let me just make sure I drew that deer tag. And I start scrolling down, and I see, like, limited entry, first choice, successful. And I was like, whoa, wait.
The data's got better.
Yeah, and I was like, wait, what? And I, like an idiot, I was like, that's not right. So I, like, cleared my, like, inbox app out and like restarted it to like double check. I thought I was like dyslexic or something. And I like read it again and I was like, oh shit.
Wow.
I like, cause we were going to hunt Wyoming. Yeah. Like Wyoming was the plan cause we had points to draw it. And I was like, well, my September just changed drastically.
You'd already applied in Wyoming then.
Yeah.
Cause that's in January.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and then, like we were going to draw it. Like we knew we were going
to
draw
it. Did you do it in time to like modify your app? Or did you draw Wyoming also?
Oh, I drew Wyoming.
Oh,
also.
So you doubled up.
Yeah, and I didn't get to hunt Wyoming like at for all. Myself. So I burned my points.
Gotcha. Ouch.
Yep. Bummer.
That's a real stinger.
That's okay.
That's a really common question that we get. Like, what do you do if you draw too many tags?
Yeah, well.
So what did you do? What's your frame of mind in that situation? You got a Wyoming elk tag, you have a Utah limited entry tag.
All eggs in the Utah limited entry.
Yeah.
I was like, Wyoming, awesome. I wanna hunt it, but
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everything goes. My brain is just laser focused on.
Did
Utah.
You know anything about that area?
Not really.
Really?
Not really. Once I drew it, I reached out to some people and, you know, you were one of them. You had some info for me, which was really helpful. And a couple other guys. And
you got some scouting trips in, I know,
because
I started getting video.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you were like, how big is this bull? And like, very big.
Yeah, very big. Yeah, somebody ended up killing him on the rifle tag.
Yeah, I talked to a guy actually just the other day that DM'd me and said, have you seen this bull? And I said, yeah, actually I have. And he hunts the same unit. And he was kind of asking me, like, do you know where it was killed? I know it was killed on the rifle hunt. And then he did a little digging and come to find out it was like a friend's grandpa or something. Mm-hmm. And we kind of picked it apart and figured out where he killed it. But yeah. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. Turns out he killed it right where...
Yeah, right where he was. Pretty
right
much
where
he was.
But we could never find him. We spent a couple days looking for him, and I was like, look, like, he's big, but I don't want to just focus on one bull, you know?
How much time did you put into that animal, that one bull? How many days?
I think looked for him for not many, couple
really?
Days, yeah.
And then you bounced.
Then I was like, we weren't seeing many bulls over there.
Yeah, that little spot... starts to deteriorate. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a bachelor herd, summer range, and then they kind of filter out.
Yeah.
But
so I didn't want to spend too much time.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that bull a lot scouting?
One time.
Only one?
And I didn't get to go on the scouting trip. Mm. But I just
had to work.
Yeah, somebody had to work. Yeah, teeth needed to be cleaned. But I think they saw him once, maybe twice.
Mm-hmm.
But
you get pretty excited when you saw that bull?
I was like, he's big. Yeah, he's, I was like, I don't know how big he is, but he's big.
He'll do.
He'll do. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think he went 393. Yeah, is that what you heard?
That's what they said. Mm-hmm. I asked the guy, I said, do you think that bull was actually mid-390s? And he said that, because remember I told you I thought it was like 384, 85 maybe? Mm-hmm. He said that when they originally had it scored, I think the taxidermist, it was like 384. And then somebody else scored it, and it was like 390. 394. So somebody
stretched. Where'd you find 10 inches?
Somebody stretched some inches out, which is fine. I don't care. It's neither here nor there. But I remember
he's a big bull.
Yeah,
but giant. And he's got cool
giant
backs.
Absolute giant.
His back end was cool
for sure. Did you, when you left that area, were you like back of your mind like, ugh, I don't know if I should take off?
Yeah, I was torn, but it goes back to that like gut feeling and that like, you know, timing and all those things like
intuition.
Intuition. I was just like, I don't want to say I don't want to waste time on that bull, but like I didn't want to spend too much time because I knew like one, like it was, were we going to find him? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So
how do you make that decision?
Like I literally like, you know, what's your answer right now? And I just go like,
yeah,
I just,
cause with the coveted tag, you kind of got to either go all in and not kill or still get a really, really, really good bull. But not that one. Yeah. So it's like, maybe.
And I kind of went into it like with an open mind too. I was like, yeah, I'd love to kill that bull. That bull is a tank. Mm-hmm. Like, hell yeah. But I also want to just kill a big bull. Like I want to, like my parameters were just big, old warrior. That's it. Like I didn't have like, oh, 6 point or oh, 5 point or anything. Like 350 was kind of my minimum score. Like hope, I guess. And, yeah, that's pretty much all I went into. I actually passed on a bull on day two that was probably like a 350 bull, long tines, long beams, but he just looked like a teenage elk. Mm. And I just was not on this, like, okay, if that would have been at home, I would have had an arrow off so fast. You wouldn't even have like, you know, but like on this tag, I was like, man, like he's a great bull, but like on day two, he's not exactly what I'm after. I don't want to be picky. There was this like fine balance of like, I want to be picky, but I don't want to be too picky because I don't want to eat my tag. Yeah.
When you say day two, what stage of that hunt are we? Are we talking like August 17th when it opens up in Utah? Or
I think it was
like
September 1st or something.
Okay, so you waited.
Mm-hmm. Went down for opening weekend.
Okay.
For like a day and a half. It was just like a turn and burn trip.
Just to look at some country.
Look for... I called him the wizard bull because it's like a squiggly, but
he did kind of look wizardly.
Wizardly, yeah. Spent Gandalf. Day and a half looking for him. Lost my bow the first morning off the back of the razor.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, in the case. Yeah, oh, got lucky. To the glassing point and the bow was gone. So we had to like turn around and go looking for it. And luckily this guy that's like a hound guide picked it up. And I was like panicking. I was just like, oh my gosh. Like,
it's probably the Meekums. Do you remember the Klenner McLean Meekum? Does that strike a chord with you?
I can't. Tyson.
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 Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah, super nice guy. But yeah, we like track him down, and I'm like panicking. Like, you looking for this? I was like, yes, I am. Thank you so much. Oh, like, you saved my whole hunt.
So when you show up in September, what's behavior like? What are the elk doing?
They were red. I mean, first morning, September 1st was our first hunt or our first day hunting. They were going absolutely apeshit.
Really?
Like screaming, fighting, like all of it with cows. I was like, holy crap.
Is that different than what you've observed in Idaho?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were just going nuts like every day.
That's what makes it fun, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Were they running pretty hard the whole time though? The whole hunt?
Yeah. It was pretty steady. Most afternoons we had like little rainstorms. Mm-hmm. Then there was a couple afternoons we didn't, and they definitely were more shut down the days we like had sun all day.
Yeah.
But they were pretty...
A little hotter.
Yeah, they were pretty active just for the full...
So how are you hunting them? You spot and stock, you call in, sitting wallows, water?
Didn't sit any wallows, didn't sit any water. I'm more of like a doer. I like to go try to make things happen, make my own mistakes. A lot of calling, a lot of... no spot and stock, just lots of calling. And we kind of hunted a lot of the like deep, big canyons on like the...
East side?
Yeah, the east side. Yes.
Everybody knows what unit we're talking about now.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I don't care.
Yeah. But then, we were like putting like 10 plus miles on a day, and it was just like, you know, your bull's like bugling down on the bottom. You're like, well, I've got to drop all the way in there to go after him. So then we...
What are they reacting to? Bugles, cow calls? You remember?
I don't remember. Gotcha. They were kind of just, it kind of seemed like there was no rhyme or reason to much. But the one thing I did learn was like the more aggressive, and this, like, I carried this into like Wyoming too. Like, because in Idaho, you don't want to be too aggressive with the calls, it seems like. Or maybe I just suck at elk hunting. That could honestly probably be it. But like, it's almost like you like scare them off. But like here, if you like let up on the calls, they would just lose interest and go to the next thing. Like, it was like you'd watch them, they'd be like, oh, that one stopped talking, and they would just go over there.
So you're blowing calls a lot.
Yeah, it felt like a lot. More than ever.
More than usual.
Yeah, more than usual. One of my patients, he hunted like a nearby unit a couple years before, and that was one thing, and he's like an elk killing machine up in Idaho, and he was like, be aggressive. He's like,
aggressive.
He was like, don't be afraid to just get in there and like be aggressive with the calls. And that's definitely not the norm. So that was a learning curve, but they were more responsive. It seemed like if you like quit calling, they'd be like, never mind. Lose interest. But it was good.
Yeah. I would say I had a similar experience in Utah too. Last time I had a tag, I did a whole lot more bugling than I normally do. Mm-hmm. And I bugled a few bulls in, which is usually not the case for me. I'm like not bugling bulls in. The bull I ended up killing, I actually cow called in, but called in a couple others the day, 2 days prior, just bugling at him. And I actually had one bull that came, he was alone, came all the way across the canyon to just bugles. So it's hard to know what to do. What do you, you probably listen and watch a lot of content, elk hunting, bugling, all that.
Not really.
No? Okay.
I don't really watch content. Sure. I don't watch YouTube.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that the stuff I've watched is recent by any means, but you hear people talk about like, oh, I know what that elk needs when and what he's saying. Do you have a gut feeling on that?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, he's kind of figured out as you go.
I like judging by their like temperature of like how interested are they or not. I don't know what they're saying.
Yeah.
Or what I'm saying, or what, you know, I don't know. Just feed off of their.
Yeah, every situation's different, isn't it? Yeah, I talk to a lot of people that want strategies. Like, how do you do it? I'm like, I don't know, because I did this one time and it worked, and I did this other thing another time and that worked, and then one time I just spot and stalked and shot one, and it's just like, I don't know. You just got to gauge what the situation's giving you.
Yeah,
you've said a few times that you go a lot on intuition. And I feel that way also. Like, that's kind of how I feel like I've been successful, is like a lot of times it's just a gut feeling.
Yeah.
I don't think I say it's a gut feeling, but I don't think it's like, it's not fly by the night, right? Like, I'm making calculated decisions based on something.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you teach that unless you just get it from experience, right? Yeah. You have to put yourself in those types of situations to then kind of have that intuition of like, oh, this is the thing that I should do. And it doesn't always work.
No.
But I feel like that's kind of the secret sauce. And I don't know how she'd get that other than just being out there.
Yeah. I definitely am a gut feeling person. Like, if my gut's saying, like, go over there, like, I'm going to go over there, or whatever, you know, whatever it is.
Interesting.
Or pack up and leave, or try a new spot, or, you know, wait 5 more minutes, or, you know, all that.
Yeah. I'll be interested. Are you going to do some more solo hunting this year, do you think?
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see how you feel. Like, after doing some more solo hunting versus, you know, hunting with a partner, because I feel like I'm a lot more that way on my own.
Yeah.
And it's actually one of the things I think I like about hunting by myself the most, is that there's never a second guess, really. I'm not turning to my buddy and saying, what do you think? And he says, I don't know, what do you think? And then you sit there and you kind of analyze the terrain, you look at it. I feel like so much more hunting on my own. I make a plan and I'm like, I'm going to go do it. And I go for it, you know, and I do it. And I feel like I've been more, all of my best animals I've killed by myself.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. And I don't know that it would be the case if I had a partner with me all the time. Cause I just think I'm more intuitive. I'm more likely to like dive off and do something if I'm not worried about somebody else and kind of taking care and taking it with me and like working with them, which is interesting. It'd be interesting to see what your thoughts post-hunt.
I'm excited. I mean, I killed that bull in November by myself, rifle bull. And it was just like, I just went, like, I was like, well, I'm going to go try. Like, I'm going to go like, you know, and that was the biggest bull I've ever killed besides my Utah bull. Like, that's my second biggest bull. I don't know if that
that's anything. Awesome. That's a pretty good year.
Yeah, yeah. I was happy. Like yeah, two banger bowls. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, better year than I had. So far, you're beating me in archery and bull elk killing.
Wow. I think you have me beat in the total bull elk killed.
Well, I'm way older than you.
Well, yeah, but still.
Well, we can add up when you're 46 and see all right, how it we'll goes. See.
But yeah, I think it'll be interesting to just go with what I think, you know. Yeah. I do like bouncing ideas off of people, though. Because like sometimes I'm like, am I way off base? Or like... Mm. You know, I don't know, but it'll be a year of learning for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
take us through the day that you actually killed your bull.
The day I killed my bull?
Yeah.
Craziest day ever.
I want to hear about it.
It was crazy. Started off, it was day eight, morning of day eight. So we're putting 10 plus miles on a day. Like it's like, and we hunted sun up to sundown, like a couple times.
You're hiking. You're just cutting country, hiking, yeah, bugling, hiking. Calling.
Mm-hmm. 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 And tired, whatever, all the things, day eight, get hiked up into the spot and not much happening. Like there was like one bull bugling and went after him. And that was the hard part about this part of the unit. It was like you couldn't glass him up. You just went. Mm. And then you just got to find out, like, you know, what bull are you after? And so we got up to him and he was like probably 300 class bull. And it was a bummer, like hiked all the way in there and like chased this bugle and like it was like two smaller bulls. And so we just kind of backed off and one of them, I can't remember, it was kind of a blur of a day, but like basically we like chased into these cliffs and like ends of the earth and nothing really panned out and they were smaller. And I'm not gonna lie, I might have had like a little bit of a breakdown on the mountain. It was like The hunt was feeling like it was running out of time. And like, I was,
how many days did you have left?
So that was day eight. I think I had 12 planned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, you still have like some time, you know, had plenty of time, but it just felt like, you know, the day before it was like, it felt like every day it was just like so close. Like it was just like, you know, game of inches, of course, you know, it was
everything
like,
has to go right.
Yeah. Everything has to go right. And then some, you know, and it just felt like we just could not catch a break. Like, it'd be either like a small bull or, you know, the small bulls would cooperate, but not the big bulls. Or like, you know, you were running and gunning and like cut them off. And like, I made a mistake the night before, like where I just like an idiot, just like a cow, like walked out and I like could see the bull coming through the trees. And he was a big bull. I don't remember how big he was, but I just like stepped out from behind the tree. 'Cause I was like, I have to get out. Like I can't kill a bull from behind the tree. And I just like stepped out and the cow saw me and I was like, you idiot. They were like 12 yards, but it was just like we were running and like calling and it was like this whole like cluster anyway. So I was like just kind of down, like made a mistake the night before and time was running out. Had a breakdown, got pulled up by my bootstraps, like toughen up, and I needed it. Uh-huh. And I might have cried some tears, but it's okay. went down and just lit off like the canyon, like sent a bugle and just like three or four bulls responded. And so I was like, okay, game time.
Back in it.
And I get down, we get down there and I go to knock an arrow. I've already had an arrow knocked this, like that morning. Go to knock an arrow, go to engage my rest. My launcher blade is hanging on by the pig hide.
Oh no.
It's
just broke. The fork?
Mm-hmm, broke the fork. And no idea how it happened.
Oh.
Because I had an arrow knocked earlier and I always disengage my rest. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, we were running and gunning through like some really thick aspen-y just shit. And
dog hair aspen. That's what I call them.
Gnarly.
Those regenerating aspen are rough.
And I like engaged and I was just like, my rest is broken. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, well, it's broken. And so we have bulls bugling under 100 yards, cows going bonkers. And I'm like, throw it down, bust out the kill kit, Luco taped it together. So luckily the pig hide, like the sound dampener uses, had the adhesive held the launcher blade in place. It was broken, but it was still on there. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know how this happened. Like, so we taped it together very carefully, like kind of splinted it with Luco tape. And I like engaged it and disengaged it really aggressively a couple times and it held. And like, I didn't put a lot on my, like in the,
yeah, like, in the bottom.
Yeah, in the bottom. And I was just like, it just has to hold for one. Mm-hmm. Like, just has to hold. Reached out, talked to Nick later in the day, and he was like, it should hold. And he's like, do you have any spare launcher blades? I was like, no.
Yeah, no.
he's like, they're on their way to your house. I was like, okay, well. Huh. Anyway, so get in on these bulls. I've got a leukotaped rest. And I was like, well, hopefully it's just a close shot. Like, I was obviously going to go test it that night to make sure it was okay. But, like, I was
call
just,
her
like,
out, everybody. Come on.
Yeah, get on there with the comments. Like, oh, comments. Whatever. Anyway, so get out there and, like, we have, like, three bulls going. And I think I drew twice in this, like, open, like, sage patch on two different bulls. And they are big bulls. And it was just, like, I drew and then, like, the one just stopped behind the tree. Like, then he turned and walked away. Like, it was just, I couldn't catch a break. Like, mm-hmm. nothing was lining up. They shut down. One of them peeled off into a bedding area by himself. And I was like, well, let's just put on our little stocking moccasins, the Gulus, mm-hmm. the woolly ones. Those are awesome. I was like, let's just put on our shoes and just go cruising in there and see if we can't find him. Sure enough, found him like 80 yards in his bed. We tried to slow play him all day. He never even looked at us. And, like, we couldn't get any closer. I think he was just dead tired. Like,
no,
I think
cows?
He was just, no cows.
By himself.
Yeah. Just dead
Did
tired.
Did you get a look at him?
Not really.
Gotcha.
Not really. I mean, I saw him quickly, like, in the opening. He was big.
I was going to say, I'd love to know how big that bull was.
He was big. Yeah.
Interesting.
But so we, like, tried to slow play him all day. Nothing. And then backed out to get some water, and all of a sudden they just, like, light up in there. So we were, like, running back in, and I'm just like, what? Can't catch a break. So anyway, that ends up not working out. We knew where the bulls were headed, so we, like, pack up, go back to the side-by-side, and by this time I've, like, talked to Nick, and Nick's like, yeah, it should hold, like, it should be good. I was like, okay, cool. And for the rest. So then we get in the razor, we, like, drive around to this other spot, and hopefully these people aren't listening, but I'm still bitter about this a little bit. So we drive over to this other spot, and it's, like, just this big open area. And, like, the bulls are going to come, like, down through this, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. We've done it before. Like, mm-hmm. we know where they're going. And really quick, we wanted to go look at some water that was nearby. So we, like, jet down there on foot. And literally, like, we're talking, and there's, like, elk hitting it for sure, but not, it didn't seem like they were hammering it. All of a sudden, a bull bugles and chases two cows. I'm standing in the wide open. Like, I'm just like, oh, shit, I can't catch a break. Can't catch a break today. And I'm just like, I'm frustrated at this point. Like, it's, like, not a good day. We go hiking back. We're like, all right, we'll just hunt this, like, little pinch point. We know where they're going to come out. Like, we know what's going to happen. We walk up there, and there's three people standing in, like, the clearing. Like, where did they come from? Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell? So we, like, go talk to him, and the guy was kind of like, oh, yeah, I imagined you guys had a bull tag because there's nothing else, you know, there's no deer up here, and the cow, like, spike or whatever is closed. And we were like, okay. And I was like, well, maybe they came from, like, somewhere else. Cause we wound up there from another direction one night. Mm-hmm. No, they parked, like, right next to our side by side. Yeah. I was like, cool. So we go back to where we started that morning, and I was pissed. Like, I was just like, if this wasn't, like, a once in a lifetime tag for me, uh-huh. I would be going back to camp and just, like, calling it a day, because it's just been, like, I need a beer. Like, I need to go just, like, I'm done. Like,
calm down a little bit.
The elk are winning. Like, I'm done. And I was like, I'm going to put my AirPods in and just listen to some old school Eminem. And I need to just, like, I'm pissed, right? Because I knew we'd, like, hike back up there. It wasn't a hard hike. But I was just like, God, like, nothing's panning out. So we get up there. I, like, take my AirPods out. I, like, kind of, like, set my bow down aggressively. I'm like, give me the bugle tube. We're going to start. Like, I'm not even going to wait for them to bugle, because our plan was to go up there and just let them start. It's like, no, like, let's start. I'm pissed. Literally, within that moment, bulls started bugling, like, in the trees, like, 120 yards from us. And I was like, oh, just kidding. Like, they're going to start. And so as he was coming out, he was bugling, and he was, like, had his head, like, tipped, like, coming out of the aspens. And he was like, it's the broken bull from the other night. Do you want to kill him? And I was like, yeah. Like, yes, I want to kill him. So there was, like, two jack pines, and he dropped down, like, into the aspens to call, and I just ran straight to the jack pines, and I knew that he was either going to come this way, or he wasn't going to come at all. Like, there was no, he was either coming or not.
Yeah.
And so I, like, quickly knock an arrow. I range him, and he's, like, 77 yards. He's coming, like, right to me, and I was like, okay. And I, like, kind of start looking around, range the aspens, range, like, a little sarvisberry bush. The sarvisberry bush is, like, 32 yards, and I've got, like, two jack pines. I'm kind of standing, like, in between them. Like, I'm kind of, like, you know, he's coming from like this direction from my right. And pretty quick, I like range him again. He's like, you know, 64, 60, like 58. Like he's coming. I was like, oh shit. So I like not, I'm like, you know, arrow on. I'm like, okay. And I knew he was going to come like out in front of me. And so I had like a, just a split second to like judge his distance. And I just said 40 as he walked through this little opening. And he, as soon as he went behind the bush, I just drew. And I was at full draw, I think 18 seconds, like on the film.
And, fair minute.
Yeah. Yeah. So I drew while he was behind, like walking. He was just walking it just like a good, good clip. And as he walked out, I remember like looking at him, he had like a, like an aspen tree branch on his neck. And I was like, oh, weird. And like, I was like, wow, the sun's like really bright in my peep and my bubble's like really blown out. And like my pin, I was like, whoa, geez. And I just like tracked him till he came all the way out and I was hoping he would stop and he didn't. So I just cow called and he just stopped.
You stopped him?
He just stopped and looked at me. And I just remember like, I wasn't shooting a click. So I was shooting no click. So I just remember like I was on him, pin settled, and I just like 40 pin settled, and I just took my thumb off the peg and I just started pulling and he just
broke.
Smacked him.
Did you see the arrow the whole way?
I remember seeing the blood spot instantly. Gotcha. So like the bow like breaks and like I see the blood spot. And usually everything I've ever shot has run away.
Yeah.
He took like two steps and just looked at me and I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, sir. Like,
are you knocking another arrow?
My dumbass left my quiver.
Oh, right. So you had one arrow.
I had one arrow and I was just like, cause I was going to stay like over on this side. And then I just, it was just like 10 yards over there. Yeah. Cause I changed trees or whatever. And so I'm just standing there and I'm like, oh no. And, he turned and like started walking away and he just, as soon as he 180'd, I saw the exit. I was like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah.
Like he's done. Dead man walking. And he just kind of sauntered off into the sagebrush and went right into the aspens. And
did you hear him go over?
No. He kind of did this like big, like he like kind of went back like the way he was came out. And then he just like cut straight across the opening and just walked straight into the trees. And it was like a big like sage opening.
Wow.
Yeah.
What, how big is he? Do you mind me asking?
He went 348 even.
Gotcha.
With his broken side. Yeah.
Is he basically a big five?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool looking bull.
He's cool. And he had broke that fifth from like the first night we saw him, like night three or four. And he'd only had his broken sword. And then he had broke in those few nights the fifth.
Gotcha. Cool bull. So did you have his teeth aged?
I'm waiting to hear back. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that should be back typically March.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, so I'm excited.
You'll get it back.
Yeah. I think he's old. Like he's like his teeth. And I know teeth pretty well.
Yeah.
They're ground down.
Like, we should say you're a hygienist, right?
Yeah, dental hygienist. Yeah. But I mean he had like his like lower incisors were just like dished out, worn and like
Can you age human teeth?
No. You can tell like a young person.
Elk and deer, there's like some indicators, you know, that crest. Maybe you know the name of it. Like on an elk's molar or a deer's molar, they've got this crest that runs through the middle of the molar. Do you know what that's called?
No,
I should know that off the top of my head. Yeah. But the older they get, that starts to dish and wear flat.
Interesting.
And then you can actually track it forward from the back of the jaw and get an idea on how old they might be. But it's not foolproof because it's diet dependent, right? You get a deer and elk that's like lives in a real sandy environment. Yeah. They might grind that down a little bit more. But
yeah,
that's cool. Old bull. Yeah, awesome. I was super stoked for you.
Yeah. He had the look, you know, he had that like, you know, kind of sloped to his back. His big pot belly. He was yellow, like kind of ratty hair. Like, you know, he
just an old rebel.
He's seen some shit, you know, like.
So how does a limited entry hunt compare to a Idaho General OTC tag?
It doesn't compare. Like,
you haven't thought of like, oh, now I have to go back to hunting general season.
Yeah, I was like, oh, darn, boo. Yeah. It was a hunt of a lifetime. Learned a lot about elk, learned a lot about elk hunting, a lot about behavior. And like, we just don't get that kind of interaction in Idaho every day. You get it, but it's not every day, multiple times a day.
Consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I am. I'm excited to see the footage.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to
seeing
a film. That'd be really awesome.
Yeah.
Are you ready for a lightning round?
Oh, God.
Of questions?
Sure.
Did you know I was going to do this?
No, I did not.
These ones aren't made. They aren't as good as some of the other ones I've come up with.
What do I do? Just answer as fast as I can?
Yeah, just whatever comes to mind.
Okay. Oh, boy. Wow.
You kind of actually already answered this one, but I'd be curious. So if you're going on a hunt, what's your what are you listening to in the truck? What's your favorite pump up song? Oh. What kind of podcast do you listen to? What are you into?
Yeah, like some old school Eminem. That's or like, yeah.
Some 7 Mile.
Eminem is great. It's
but also like out. The Post Malone, the new Post Malone album came out like right during that.
Okay.
And so like The Wrong Ones, that was like my, that song, that was like my jam for that hunt.
Gotcha. Yeah. I like that one.
Yeah. But mostly that kind of stuff.
Eminem.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's one word you would describe like how you feel about bow hunting?
Passionate.
Oh, I like that one.
Ooh.
What about you, Brady? How you feel about bow hunting?
Retired.
Retired. Perfect.
Yeah. Retirement's great.
What's the best piece of hunting advice you've ever received?
Spend a lot of time out there.
Spend more time.
Yeah, more time. Time and tags in your pocket. It's probably the most important thing.
I like that. Do you think that's the biggest difference between people that are consistent and those that aren't?
Yes.
It's just the amount of days and time they put in?
Possibly. Yeah. I think that goes into it. Like, I mean, I'll leave from work at, 5:30 in the evening. And I mean, we drove through the night to go to Utah and, got in at 2 a.m. and got up the next morning and, 5 a.m. and a couple hours of sleep and went elk hunting. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How bad do you want it?
Yeah.
Right?
How bad do you want it? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's a movie or a TV show that you never get tired of?
The Office.
Yes. That's such a good one.
On repeat.
I watched, have you seen like the Christmas episode?
Which one?
The one where they let the one lady be Santa Claus. I just watched that the other day. I've never seen it.
They have a bunch of Christmas episodes.
Yeah, but the one I watched the other day I hadn't seen before, and it was hilarious.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah.
They're all good.
And he gets pissed because he can't be Santa Claus.
Yeah.
He dresses up as Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yes.
That one was fantastic. I love that one. That's a good answer. You already asked it, but you said you don't get buck fever.
Oh, not bad.
Do you got any tips for somebody that might? Somebody that
don't
really...
Don't forget to breathe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's your favorite wild game meat and why?
Probably elk. Just, it's good. It's always good.
Do you got a recipe you like?
I just kind of wing it at all times, but you can't go wrong with like just searing them on like a blacktop or a, cast iron,
seasoning,
salt and pepper.
That's it.
A little bit of garlic butter and like herbs and to baste it once you flip it.
Sides?
Really into the food.
Broccoli? I'm curious. I don't know, broccoli.
it is getting close to dinner time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably why.
Usually just, veggies, maybe some rice, avocado, sweet potato, I don't know.
Yeah. You kind of already brought this one up too, but awkward hunting encounters in the woods. So you brought this one up with the three guys.
Yeah.
Any others you can think of?
No, not really.
Gotcha. You?
Awkward encounters?
Yeah. Hunting? Never see any weird things. Did you guys have some hikers, some through hikers on a hunt, or was that Brandon?
That was Brandon and I think Neville. They went topless.
Oh.
The dudes dropped all.
Yeah,
all
dropped trowel.
Just naked hiking?
Yeah.
On top of their peak bagging.
Yeah, they were getting.
So they got up the top. The I think they did like the jumping, take pictures of themselves all naked on top of a summit.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Do you guys just have your tripod set up on him, taking a peek or what?
Yeah,
that's what I heard.
I think that was like right at the top end of a basin that they had a really nice buck bedded in.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and they were like, "Oh, that's fun. Mm-hmm. That's not going to help our cause."
No, it definitely won't.
My favorite one I had from this year was I had a through hiker guy from Colorado, and I'm sitting there just like on the side of a single track trail that's just been recently cut in. And there's mountain bike traffic on it. There's hikers on it. And so this guy comes walking up along, and he walks up to me, and I got my bow sitting there, and I'm there first day, like very first day, probably the first 3 hours. So I'm just sitting there like glassing this big hillside. It's like midday. He walks up and he's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" Like full voice, loud. Yeah. And then I was like, "Oh, hunting elk, bow hunting elk." And he's like, I've lived here for 40 years. He's like, "I probably hiked this trail, 20, 30 times. He's like, "I never seen an elk on it." He's like, "I've seen some tracks, but never seen an elk." And as he's talking, I can hear two bulls bugling over his shoulder in the canyon below. Like as he's speaking, I can hear, whistle.
You're like, "Oh yeah, there's no elk here."
I was like, "Yeah, that's wild." So that was kind of a fun one. Hmm. And then I was asking the camera guy, I'm like, do we say something? Should we like point it out to him?
Or no, that way he'll just attract more people to come up there.
Yeah,
all the time.
We figured we'll just let it ride.
Yeah. I guess I had one encounter like that. We were doing the late, like extended Wasatch.
Mm-hmm.
And there's mountain bikers everywhere. And like people don't really know what you're doing, you know? But this guy comes like cruising past and he just like locks up the brakes, like, and I was like, oh, geez. Like, he comes out, he goes, hey, he goes, you guys hunting deer? Yeah. He goes, there's a big one right back there, around the corner. I was like, oh, how big? He goes, 200 pounds. I was like, 200 pounds. Holy hell.
Yes.
Thanks, man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're only hunting 300 pounders.
I was like, sorry. Did it have like antlers? He goes, I think so. And I was like, okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Yeah. Have a good day.
That's what I'm going to start saying. See, people ask me, have you seen any? Yeah. Saw a buck, 200 pounder.
200 pounder.
I like that.
I was like, what a guy though. Just trying to help out.
Yeah.
And you say like, oh, I had really big ears.
Yeah. just big ears.
Mule deer.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the questions I had for you. Nice. You got them all. Okay. You nailed them.
I got one.
You got a good one?
Let's this is a lightning one?
Okay. No, it's just one.
Oh,
okay. I'm not saying you are this person at all.
Oh boy.
But we have an Idaho resident here.
Yeah. Right? I am.
So I want to ask, why in general do Idaho residents hate non-residents?
I don't know.
It's that state and then Alaska.
Really?
The two that I see a lot of.
I mean, the thing, like, I don't know. Like, it's more people on the mountain, but, like, I don't.
Yeah. It's just, like, I always feel it's, like, interesting that no matter what.
I'm an out-of-stater a lot of the time, so.
Exactly. Like, we're all non-residents of 49 in our state.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
I don't know, it just seems like anytime we talk about that Idaho word.
What's your least favorite license plate that you see at a trailhead?
Utah. Sorry.
How rude.
I'm sorry.
No, I concur with you. I get it completely.
Yeah.
What is it about us?
I'm not talking about you. It's just, there's a, like, they what, seem what to is be, it, what and is it about this is obviously not a blanket statement because I know that you're not all rude, but they seem to be like the most disrespectful, mm-hmm. the rudest, the least, like, there's like some etiquette, you know? Mm-hmm. They just seem to be the most like, I'm here.
Laissez-faire. Just whatever.
Yeah.
So if Utah people were nicer, maybe the general sentiment would be non-residents aren't that bad.
Maybe.
But maybe it's just Utah people wrecking it.
Yeah, so it's Utah ruining everything. I'm just kidding.
For everyone else.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you're wrong completely. You hear the same thing in Colorado.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if I was to ask somebody from Colorado that lived there and hunted it all, what's the least favorite license plate, they'd say Utah too. It's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
It's just like, I don't know. I feel like when you get somebody from, I don't often see Wyoming plates. They should never come to Idaho because they're all kind of way better than ours. But like the other plates we do see, like they tend to just be a little nicer, a little more polite, or I don't know.
Mm.
That's awesome.
Utah. Boo.
Utahns. Something in the water.
Something in the Diet Coke down there, I think.
Yeah.
I
what the?
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Where did that guy
get there?
Look at that guy. Just drinking Diet Coke.
You.
It's in your veins.
Well, that's good. We appreciate you coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
If people have questions for you, can they reach out to you?
Yeah, I have an Instagram.
Okay.
It's justjess208. I am a ghost on there, so you won't see much, but I might get back to it. I might fire up the old IG,
but you check it, and if somebody has questions,
yes,
there's somebody looking,
yes.
Somebody's trying to get into bow hunting or something like that,
absolutely.
Question for you.
Right yeah, on. Absolutely. Just okay. Jess 208.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, good luck tomorrow.
Thanks. Yeah. You too.
Do you know when we shoot?
2:30, I think.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I know. I get more than 3 hours of sleep tonight. I'm stoked.
Yeah, that's going to help.
Sleep. Yeah. That is nice.
You're really going to kick your ass now.
Yeah,
get your sleep,
bro.
No, I'm going to get a full 8 hours.
Are you?
I'm ready to rip.
No. I'll be ready to rip.
You'll beat me. But thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, look forward to seeing how you do and keeping up with you. And good luck in the draws this year. It'll be fun to see how your year goes and progresses.
Hopefully the luck continues, I guess.
Yeah.
Might strike twice.
Hey.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Jess.
Yeah, thanks.